daggered shards upon the stones.
Doc sat in a black leather chair in one corner of the room, eyes closed, fingers to his temples, muttering to himself. The other four friends ignored him, preoccupied with what they'd found. Three deep-frozen bodies, pale and bloodless, with dozens of tubes and wires running to and from every part of them. Liquids were circulating slowly, some without color, most tinted shades of red. The clear coffins that held the bodies were slightly frosted and ice-cold to the touch, but it was possible to make out something of each of the three freezies inside.
It's a child here, little girl. Can't be more than 3 years old. Why did they freeze her?
This an old man.
Middle-aged black woman. Not bad looking.
Ryan sat down at the single long control console. The capsules were numbered 1, 2, and 3. There were sections on the console labeled with those numbers. On an impulse, he pressed the main key for 1, the glistening pod that contained the child. The screen lit up, glowing an unearthly green. The others went to stand behind Ryan and watch what was happening. Even Doc stirred himself from his almost catatonic lethargy to join the group. There were 40 or so lines in the display, each offering a different menu of information. One said simply, "Bio." Ryan operated the flickering cursor to bring it to the right place. Then, pressed the go key. They all read as the information scrolled upward, Jack's lips moving as he whispered the more difficult words under his breath. It was very short. Hope Future. Girl child abandoned in New York's Museum of Modern Art on April 7, 1998. Newborn and in coma. Has massive and inoperable brain damage under existing parameters of medical knowledge. As part of cryo campaign of late 90s, she was treated in hope that one day she might be awakened to full and happy life. Her name, Hope Future, was selected after a nationwide TV and video competition. That was all. Ryan pressed the off switch and sat back.
If I might paraphrase that great Englishman, Sir Winston Churchill, some future, some hope.
Going to thaw her out?
A 3-year-old? I don't think so, Christy. Leave her. Maybe one day she really can be a future's hope. But not with us.
The others? One's kind of old and sick.
He was 87 years old and had been frozen at the point of death from a cerebral tumor. He had won a Nobel Prize for atomic physics and had been an expert on remote control missile detonators. So the comscreen proudly announced. The decision to leave the physicist on ice was unanimous, though Doc mumbled something about thawing him out and cutting his throat.
The lady?
Ryan's fingers moved over the keys to try to find an answer to Christie's query.
At least she's not too old, and she doesn't look too ill.
JB patiently waited for the screen to display the information.
Let's see. Wyeth Mildred Winonia. Doctor of Medicine. Degrees earned and honorary. See full printout. Okay, here it goes. Born December 17, 1964. Parents, black activists. Father, minister. Killed in KKK... What's that? Firebombing in 1965. Mother, marched in late 50s and 60s. See also Connor Eugene Bull. Kennedy, John Fitzgerald. Kennedy, Robert Francis. King, Martin Luther. Montgomery, Alabama. Selma, Alabama. Young, Andrew Jackson Jr. Height, 5 feet 4 inches. Weight, 136 pounds. Eyes, brown. No distinguishing marks or scars.
Doc abruptly lost interest again and wandered off to peer into the cryo containers.
Unmarried. Next to kin, mother. Leading U.S. authority on cryogenics, specializing in cryosurgery. Frozen December 28, 2000, after complications arising from minor exploratory abdominal surgery. Details available under medical history.
Sounds like quite a lady.
Sure does.
Be interesting to try to defrost her.
That'll probably kill her.
Ryan watched as the screen continued to outline details of Mildred Wyeth's long-ago life, including where she'd lived and been educated, and titles of scientific papers she'd written. but there was one item that attracted the interest of all four of the watching companions.
Hey, look at this. Was chairperson of Pistol Club in hometown of Lincoln, Nebraska. Represented United States in Olympic Games of 1996 in free shooting competition. Won silver medal.
JB ticked off the points on his fingers.
Woman? Lord knows we could use more of those. Looks healthy, bright, doctor, real one, not like Doc. And she can handle a blaster. Shit, what are we waiting for, Ryan? Let's get her thawed out from the rad-blasted coffin.
Ryan couldn't see a single reason to argue with JB.
Yeah, let's do it.
The friends remembered from their previous experience that the ritual of thawing out of Freezy could take a long time. All of their combined skills were needed to master the consoles. Fortunately, the basic process, once properly initiated, was run by the all-knowing comp controls. They had to try to monitor the display panels showing vital functions. For nearly 2 hours, every dial and meter remained blankly, stubbornly unchanged. Doc had fallen asleep. They could tell that things were happening. The flow of liquids became swifter, and the pod began to fill slowly with a swirling gas that obscured Dr. Mildred Wyeth.
Look.
Christy pointed to the monitor labeled Vital Function 3. A small blip had been traveling along a central line, but now there was a tiny hiccup in the blip's movement. Doc looked up blearily.
We have liftoff.
He fell straight back asleep again. Gradually, the other monitor screens clicked into reluctant life. Drainage levels of certain fluids rose, while others dropped. The at first imperceptible heartbeat became audible. But the misting grew thicker, until it was impossible to see into the capsule that held Mildred Wyeth. Jack went out after a half hour to check the rest of the complex and found that the automatic fire controls had put out the blaze.
Oh, hey, it's dead.
It took more than 3 hours before all the vital signs steadied.
Soon.
The fog of vapors within the pod gradually cleared, and they gathered around, waiting for the automatic lock to spring open and release the woman. Now they could see the rise and fall of her chest beneath the thin cotton of the shroud.
Soon.
Think she'll be a triple stoop?
Ryan shook his head.
Can't say that luck's been with us so far. Soon as the capsule opens, we'd better get blasters cocked and ready.
What? What? I agree with everything that the last speaker said.
He looked around, rubbing his eyes.
Sorry, gentlemen. My apologies. Must have closed my eyes for a moment. Pray, carry on with your experiment. I shall be with you shortly.
Doc laid his head back down on his arms and immediately began to snore. Ryan looked at the old man, the thought crossing his mind that the day might be coming fast when they and Doc would have to part company. As long as he still kept a reasonable hold on reality, then it was fair enough to let him keep riding with them. But this current madness seemed more deeply rooted than ever before, and you couldn't carry crazed passengers with you through Deathlands.
Things moving. Think it moved.
The fingers, with pale long nails, were twitching, opening and closing, as though they gripped some invisible weapons. The eyes blinked open, staring blind and blank at the misted interior of the cryopod. The mouth moved in a nervous tick, the tip of the pink tongue flicking out over wrinkled dry lips. Ryan noticed that, like Doc, the woman had excellent strong white teeth, a rarity now in the Deathlands.
Come on, Mildred.
Christy's hand rested gently on the exterior of the capsule.
It's getting warmer, people.
Heart breathing quicker. Could be too quick.
Can we open it up faster?
There's a clock counting down on our numbered pod, down to 3 minutes and 18 seconds.
Bleep's gone mutey shit. Explode any minute.
The four watchers slowly moved back from the pod, all holding blasters, ready to protect themselves against whatever.
2 minutes even.
The heavy sec locks open. The noise again stirring Doc from his slumbers. He sat up, peering curiously across the room.
Nearly cooked to a turn, is it? Then let the Thanksgiving commence.
40 seconds. Pulse and respiration are steadying.
At 30 seconds, they heard the hiss of stabilizing air, and the lid began to move slowly open. They smelled the strange odor they all recalled from the last Freezy Center. A bitter scent, carrying the taint of an ancient chemical death. Jack wrinkled his nose and turned away in disgust at the fetid stench.
Ah, oh, shit! Like knife and gut a belly-up gator.
I'll take your word for that, Jack.
The digital printout clicked its way through the last 10 seconds, freezing to a stop on 0000. The lid was now fully open, tendrils of dank mist trailing over the edges of the container. Dr. Mildred Wyeth lay there, eyes open, breathing steadily. She showed none of the signs of madness they'd seen on other thawing freezies. The room was flooded with a sudden stillness as the five companions stared at the woman from the far-off, almost mythical past. And she, reclining, looked back at them.
Oh.
Hi.
Her brown eyes turned to him. The woman's tongue moistened her lips, but she didn't speak.
Hi.
Hi yourself. If you're a cryo-resuscitation team, then I'm the goddamn Queen of Sheba.
Now you know. You know who we are, and you know what's been happening in the 100 years or so since you went under.
Ryan leaned back against the pile of blankets, looking around the circle of friends, in case anyone had anything to add.
That's about 5 years per minute, Mildred, but I don't think Ryan left much out.
You got any questions?